Someone asked me, somebody who I coach in Far and Fast, they were saying that they were enjoying the podcast, and I said, but what's your story? And I said, what do you mean, what's my story? And she's like, well, your story, what is it? And I just like it completely blanked and not even realized that that's what she was asking. And the more I thought about it, the more challenging a question it became to answer, probably because it's so simple. But the more I got into it, like I've recorded this 3 times now, and every time I record it, I'm like, yeah, no, there's more. I'm absolutely certain that she in no way envisaged that this would be the answer to her question. Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and today I'm going to be talking about my running story. I think the beginning of my story really starts well before I ever thought that going for a run would be a good idea. And I think, you know, when a lot of people know this, but you know, when I was a kid or when I was in school or high school, I was the most running and sports avoidant type person that you would come across, you know. So if I could chuck a sick day on the day of cross country, that is exactly what would happen. It was not something that I felt like I was talented at or confident in, and for the most part I felt like it was just a pretty humiliating experience. I loved school though. I loved studying, I loved the academic side of school, and part of what I loved about that is that you could just put in effort and results would show up. And it's like now I think, well, that's like what's running is like. But in my head it wasn't. In my head, you know, with something like English or history, you could study and you could get better at that. But I think with physical stuff, I just thought that you were either talented or you weren't. And, you know, we moved around a lot. And so other than sort of people that I grew up with, I always sort of struggled with friendship groups. And so, you know, like there is no way I was going to be super keen on kind of doing anything physical in public where there was the possibility of, you know, it being embarrassing or humiliating or whatever it was. And some of that was just pure social anxiety. Some of it was just the fact that I just never made friends easily, and I just didn't want to be putting myself sort of on display. It was so much easier to just sort of blend into the background. And I got very good at that. I could blend enough that people could have whole conversations and not realize I was there, which is a ambiguous talent. But you know, that's just what, you know, that's what some school experiences are like. You know, not everyone has a great time at school, and I certainly didn't. I did think once I would have been still in very early stages of high school, I think, and I thought, you know, maybe I'm not actually really crap at it. Maybe I should just give it a go. And I did at one athletics carnival, and I never did it again because it was like, it was really awful. You know, I guess you sort of like some kind of a track thing, and you know, I was dead last by so far that I just never did anything like that ever again. And also, my best friend who I grew up with, who sometimes she was at the same school as me, sometimes not, but she was very athletically inclined. So she was a great runner. She did cross country, she did track, and it was almost, I don't think it was conscious, but we just sort of separated ourselves out into these kind of separate zones where I did the academic study thing and she did the sport thing, and we kind of didn't kind of like venture into one another's zones kind of as a way of not competing. And we didn't even really sort of think about it until later on. But that's, in hindsight, that's definitely what it looks like. But one thing that I did get from school, I loved being able to sort of improve. I was just really always found that to be really motivating. And one thing that I did learn with all of that is that I could just outwork anyone. And so I wasn't necessarily the smartest or the most talented, but I could just put in more work. And then when I was at uni and, you know, working after school had finished, I had very brief flirtations with running, which was mostly because I never really had any issue with my weight when I was a kid or as a teenager. But once I left school and I just had sort of, you know, different pressures with university and working and having left home, I was more in control of what I was eating rather than relying on being cooked for, which is very pleasant. And so I struggled a lot more with my weight after I left home. And so being a very, very logical person, I kind of figured that I intensely disliked exercise, and the quickest way to burn calories in the least amount of time was running. Now, I knew nothing at that time about, you know, metabolism or lifting weights or anything like that. And so I was just sort of, I guess, going on that kind of that thing that you're fed, is that, you know, like if you want to lose weight, then you run. Which now in hindsight is kind of funny because, you know, ages ago I read this thing which I think is so true, which is that, you know, running for weight loss is like playing basketball to get tall. But at the time it made sense and I didn't mind that it was hard. In fact, I quite enjoyed the fact that it was hard. But because it was always sort of tied to this weight loss thing, I would do it for distinct periods of time and then I would abandon it. So it never became a habit. I would never consider myself a runner really in that period of time, because it just never stuck. It was just something that you were sort of like a means to an end, and I never really sort of got anything out of it beyond that. So for whatever reason, it just didn't kick in. Possibly because I was in my 20s and, you know, apparently running hungover is not the most fun you can have. So I kind of look back on that now and I think, oh, you know, it could have been something that I could have really loved and really enjoyed. But then I also kind of think back to who I was then, and, you know, I probably didn't have the discipline for it, which I think is why a lot of people sort of take it up, you know, more in their 30s and 40s, because I just don't think that when you are that age you necessarily have the drive or the discipline for something like that. But one thing I did really enjoy was walking. I walked everywhere. I didn't get my driver's license until I was 30 because I was terrified of driving. And I lived in either, like, there was a period of time where I lived in Melbourne, but mostly I lived in Sydney. And so between walking and public transport, there was really no need to have a car or to learn how to drive, which is true, but it's also, that's just the excuse I had because I was scared of driving. So I managed to resist that until I got pregnant, and then we moved to the Central Coast and we in the country, and it became imperative that I learn how to drive. And after lots and lots of lessons, lots of like basic anxiety attacks in the car, I got my license. And but that wasn't until Riley, who is my eldest, she was about, he'd be two when that happened. So after she was born, I walked everywhere, and I walked a lot because, you know, I didn't, you know, we just sort of moved to the Central Coast so that we could afford to buy somewhere, but it's not like I knew heaps of people there, and I've always really enjoyed walking. So rather than just hanging out at home with the baby, I would like take her in the pram or in the carrier and go for long walks. So it wasn't uncommon for me to walk 10Ks in a day with Riley when she was a baby. And so even though I had put on a massive amount of weight in that pregnancy, because I was like, oh, finally, I have a perfect excuse to eat everything I want to eat. But between her being such a keen breastfeeder and the walking, I ended up being 10 kilos lighter than what I was when I got pregnant. So it was not, so exercise was not something that I was sort of like feeling the need to do, because, you know, I had always thought of it as like a means to an end, and I was sort of like fine not doing any of that stuff. And then I had Piper and put on a similar amount of weight. Like, I had grand plans of not putting on the same amount of weight, but it all just you just do what you got to do in that situation. I was hideously sick in the first couple of months, and you know, it's kind of funny that I always stacked on the weight during pregnancies because the babies were so small, but you know, like it's a pretty it's such an uncomfortable time. I think I just self-medicated with food, but anyway, she was born, and she was a super efficient breastfeeder, so she was only breastfeeding for, you know, 5-10 minutes at a time. And so I was not walking anywhere near as much because I had two of them. And so I kind of got to the point where it's like, oh, I'm a bit uncomfortable and I want to lose some weight, and it hasn't just happened on its own, so I'm going to have to do something. And like, I think it's a very common way for a lot of people to start a fitness thing or a running thing, is that the kind of the primary motivator is this kind of this idea of weight loss, which very quickly gets left far, far behind. But that's often sort of the driving force, and it was for me in the beginning. And at the time, Josh was commuting from the Central Coast to Sydney every day, so he'd leave really early in the morning and wouldn't get home till 8. So my main option during the week was, when he got home, I would then go down to the 24-hour gym down the road. I would go on the treadmill, and I would just have the phone with me just in case I needed to go home to breastfeed Piper. But it rarely happened. I would just be there for an hour and then I would go home. And it was terrifying to walk into the gym. It was just like, I was so scared, and I used to have to sit in the car and just sort of like psych myself up for it, and often put in my headphones before I walked through the door, and I'd just go in there like I had blinders on and do my thing on the treadmill and leave. And I started with walk run intervals, and so when I started, I could probably only run for, you know, 200 meters at a time, and just sort of slowly increased it. And I think even at that stage, I think I was probably running outside some of the time, like on the weekend, but that was the same. Like, if I saw somebody coming in the opposite direction on the path, I would just want to disappear into the pavement, and I would just like sort of do the same blinders thing. I would just look ahead, and I was embarrassed to be there. I was embarrassed about how red I was, you know. I was, you know, just, you know, uncomfortable with my weight and everything like that. And it was just such a slog in the beginning. But after a while, something kind of started to shift. I would kind of realize at the gym that even though I was bigger than everyone else there, I could run for faster and longer than a lot of the other people who I kind of looked at and going, well, they're that shape, so they should be fit. And started to realize that the two things weren't as connected as I'd always believed that they were. And I started to have a new appreciation for the fact that even though, you know, it was hard, that I could go out there and with my body the way it was, and it was still doing it, and you know, and that my body had had two babies and it had done that, and now it was doing this new thing. And I started to kind of move away from that idea of, you know, like exercise is a punishment for the body, and sort of started to more feel like, no, this is actually really amazing. Like, my body is actually doing this, and I go and I do this running and I get better at it. And the more I put into it, the better I get at it. And, you know, instead of it sort of being this thing where, you know, I'm in the gym to sort of achieve a certain body type, I started to feel, no, like, I'm in here to see what my body can do, not to change what it looks like. I do remember not really liking it in the beginning. Like, I'd have that whole kind of like conversation about, should I go, should I not go, I should go, that whole sort of mental chess that you play with yourself in the beginning. And it was really hard, but there was something about it that I liked, the fact that it was hard and I could still do it. So there was always a part of me that enjoyed an aspect of it, even if I didn't really enjoy the whole thing. And I have really distinct memories of thinking, I could never run 5Ks without stopping, or, you know, I could never run 10Ks. Or the first time I ran on the treadmill, for the longest run I'd done was 12Ks, and I thought I could never run more than that. And at the time, I was following a few people online who were doing half marathon distances, and I thought, that is impossible, I could never ever do that. But as you kind of progress through, all of a sudden I was running 5Ks without stopping. I could run 10Ks, I could run 12Ks. I went down to Melbourne and went for a run and got a teensy bit lost and ended up walk running 16Ks. And so as all of those sorts of those preconceived ideas were challenged by the fact that I was doing the things that I didn't think I could do. And in the beginning, it was for me all about distance. I liked the challenge of distance because it didn't matter if I needed to walk or if I needed to slow down, because I could just do what the distance was. And it was a very safe and comfortable place for me to be. And I did notice at that stage that people who had started running at a similar time to me got faster more quickly than what I did. And I kind of just, sometimes I would, you know, get into that comparison trap. But for the most part, I thought, I'm just slow. I'm just never going to be that fast. It just is what it is. And the year that I ran my first half marathon was in 2013. And that year, at the beginning of the year, I'd been diagnosed with a severe clinical depression. And so I'd been on medication for that, which it had helped. But it was a very rough period of time, and you know, and having that and having small children, like, in some ways that was a protective factor, because I still had to sort of, you know, like, get up and feed them, and you know, you still had two little people who would be quite happy to sit around and snuggle with you all day. And so in some ways it sort of kept me connected and kept me moving forward during that time. And I was able to still run in that time. And it kind of like, that also was sort of like another habit thing that just kept me going. And it was I think something that in some ways probably created like a bit of a backbone of my relationship with running, because it was a constant during that period of time. And, you know, and also like it sort of showed some of the prevailing opinions of people where they're like, oh, you know, you should just exercise more. And I was like, I run. At that stage, I was running like 30 kilometres a week. I'm like, what more do you want me to do? Like, sometimes there's just no option but to have medication. And so that is what I did. I was on medication for a good 6 months. And then towards the end of the year, I just had with so much going on. I ran the two half marathons within 3 weeks of one another, and we were also in the process of packing up the house and moving and all sorts of insanity. And I just forgot to take my medication, and for the first couple of days I felt fine, and then I felt like I'd been hit by a train. But at that point I thought, oh, I might as well give it a go. And it was hard adjusting without it at first. It was a bit like going from everything being in soft focus to everything being in high definition, and everything felt sort of like angry and edgy and all the rest of it. But I was okay, and so I just continued on from there. So running for me, I think, became the thing that I held on to when nothing else really made sense. I could still go, and I could still go for a run, and I could still be outside. And it was really only much later when we'd moved and found a place to live and all of that sort of stuff, where I was running along one day and I felt like myself. And it was only then that I realized like how incredibly far gone things had gotten before. But when you're in it, you just can't really see it. So I think that I was mentioning to somebody in one of our Learn to Run groups the other day, because she commented on my compass tattoo, which is on my leg, which I got done after a marathon, directly after. It was probably a mistake, but then I was probably all hopped up on adrenaline. I probably felt less, but it's a compass and it's there for running, and it's because that's where I get my sense of direction from, is you know, running, you know, really helped to find me when I was really, really severely lost. And at this stage, I wasn't coaching anyone. I got my coaching qualifications in towards the end of 2014. But that only happened because I guess it was just probably more of a symptom of me starting to feel better and feel more like myself. And I could see that, you know, if you were willing to put in the work, that things would improve. But I also kind of felt like I just had not improved the way other people had. And I thought, what if I just really invested in training? And I specifically trained. Up until that point, I had not run intervals, I'd not run tempo, I'd not done any kind of like specific energy system workouts. Or what I was doing was I was going out and running. And in the beginning, that's more than enough. And there were certainly plenty of hills to keep it challenging. But that is what I was doing. I thought, what if I took this, you know, this period over, because it was, you know, sort of summer. And I thought, what if I sort of tried to bring the 5K distance down for a 12-week cycle, and then I tried to bring the 10K distance down for a 12-week cycle, and then I went into half marathon training. You know, would I improve? Like, how much would I improve by? And, you know, I know what happens by me, you know, sort of like not doing any of that, but let's find out what I'm really capable of if I actually put in all of the things into place for that to happen. So that's what I did. And It was the first 3 months I had, you know, like you just never know how fast you are when it's like 90% humidity and it's like 27 degrees at 5 a.m. It's just like you have no idea if any of it's working. And I hadn't realized, but with the heat, I'd sort of dipped a bit low in my iron levels. So I did a race, like an 8K race up on the Gold Coast, and I was really disappointed with it. And I sort of realized afterwards that it was probably more to do with the iron levels than my performance as such. But that also helped to sort of fuel the fire. And so then by the time I got to into race territory at the beginning of 2014, I managed to go under 2 hours at the Gold Coast Bulletin, and then had another good race at Great Ocean Road, and then I went and did like 1:49 in the Gold Coast that year. So that was before that. I think that my best time was about like 2:19 or something. So I was able to improve my half marathon time by about 30 minutes, which was a lot. And it was enough that people who sort of followed me in social media circles started to want me to program for them. And I think that's really when I fell in love with programming and program design, and, you know, finding out what people are capable of, you know, finding out where the weaknesses is so that you can build that up. And just the potential for improvement is always so exciting. So even now, I guess, whatever it is, you know, like 3 years later, it's still something that I absolutely love to do. I love to do it for myself. I guinea pig myself on all sorts of things all the time. So if I see a new sort of training theory or something that I haven't seen before, I'll sort of do a cycle of it to see how it works for me. And then I will then sort of look at sort of integrating that and implementing that with other people if I feel like it's a really successful way of doing things. But for me, that potential for improvement is such a magical thing in some ways. And I think it, you know, it just really, really appeals to my work ethic, like the ability to, you know, to be able to improve something without necessarily having to have the sort of like the latent talent. Like, I might not have had that talent growing up, and it's the same with what I've done with, you know, with CrossFit and weights. I'm certainly not like I'm not lifting, you know, huge amounts of weight, but I love that it still goes up, you know. And so it's one of those things that always keeps me engaged in the process. And one of the benefits of not having had any interest at all in running as a kid is that it's not the kind of thing where, you know, like I've peaked and now I'm on the downhill slide. Like I still think that there's room for me to improve more. I think there's a way for me to get faster. So I think for me that's what I find exciting. But I also just love the discipline of it. You know, like even if I was never going to get, I was never going to improve, nothing was ever going to get easier, wasn't going to get any faster, I wouldn't stop doing what I do because I just love it too much. You know, I love the routine of it. I love the feeling of having completed something after a hard workout. I love the feeling of going for an easy run and have it feel easy. You know, I love getting to hang out with other runners. I love talking to people about running, as evidenced by this podcast. There is just nothing I don't love about it. And so it doesn't actually matter what happens, you know, in races or anything else, because it's running that I love, it's training that I love, you know. And races are cool, and I get to, you know, see people, and you know, and it's always great to test out your body and see what it's capable of. But it really is the less important part of it for me. And I think that in the years since I started, it has changed my whole life, you know, because in the past, I would think, oh, well, I can't do that because of A, B, or C. But really, there is no A, B, or C. It's just, you know, it's just a limit that you're placing on yourself. And I don't really have that anymore, because I don't really perceive that there aren't limits that can't be stretched or broken or bent or worked around, because that's what running has taught me, is that there aren't really any limits. And it's also taught me that there, I think, to have a really great relationship with my body. I remember going, first time I went to, it was my first half marathon, and I was so scared that I was going to stick out, because I was going to be the fat person amongst all of these athletic people. And I got there, and there was just every type of person, every body type, and they were running a half marathon or a marathon that day. And it really opened my eyes to the fact that running is a sport for everyone, not just for people who happen to look like elite runners. And that's also why I'm so passionate about recreational running, because I think that, you know, it is such an accessible thing for everyone, and I think that there is something that everyone can get out of it. And I think that it can, you know, teach people, like it taught me, that, you know, your body is an ally and an asset, and it is not what is sort of holding you back, which is always sort of what I thought before, that, you know, if I was just this different shape or this different size, then I could do something. But no, you can do something no matter what, and it will probably surprise you how much it is actually capable of. I think probably one of my favorite feelings is if I'm out on a run and I'm kind of feeling a bit tired, and you just go that little bit further, and all of a sudden your body just throws up another gear, and all of a sudden it's easy. And I think it is such a great way to learn to really appreciate what your body is capable of. And having that there has then sort of taught me to respect my body in ways that I would never have done before. So that's my story. For me, running is my art, my therapy, and my science. And I just think that on a bad day, running will remind you who you are, and on a good day, running will remind you who you could be. And who you could be is completely limitless, much like running.